Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
We're going to talk about periods now. Yep, we're going to do it because millions and millions of women and girls experience debilitating periods, yet nearly one third never seek medical help. Why? Well, because more than half of those that do seek help say their symptoms are not taken seriously and it is not good enough. On the line now is Dr. Mary McCaffrey, consultant gynecologist at Scotia's Women's Health Clinic, and that is in Tralee. Mary, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Jen. I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, let's talk about it. How common are problem periods? I mean, is this a really common thing? And how would you define a problem period?
I would say it is more common than we think. And I suppose, what's the definition of a period problem? That's really, it's how long is a piece of string. For me, I think a period is a problem if somehow it's impacting the person's life and their quality of life. And that might be that it's their perception of it, and they need to sit down with us, and we have to solve it for them, because if someone has a perception that their life is affected by something, there has to be some solution to it. So I would say that at least 1 in 10 people will present with problem periods or with some issue with their periods. Then there are conditions associated with period problems like endometriosis, fibroids, whatever, and they are actually much more common. And I think you hit the nail on the head that people go to doctors and they somehow feel they're not taken seriously. I'm sure that's probably not completely true, but that's what the message they come away with, and that's actually very sad.
Heavy periods are common, but
yeah,
they aren't normal. Would I be right in saying that?
Well, they aren't normal. No, I mean, everyone's periods will be, you know, they have a period. It should be for probably about 5 days. Some people's periods might go on for 7 days. But when you hear people saying that they wake up in the morning and the bed is destroyed, their clothes are destroyed, that they can't go to work, or they are changing pads and tampons every hour, that's not normal. And that's the situation where people should be coming and saying, look, what can we do about this?
Can we talk about fibroids? Because I'm hearing this word more often. They would be a cause or a result of painful periods?
No, they can be a cause of painful periods. They aren't often a cause.
Okay.
We'll often see women who maybe we do a scan or an MRI and we find them coincidentally. So fibroids are essentially an enlargement of the muscle layer of the womb. And they can be quite big. So they can be within the muscle layer of the womb, and they can grow into the cavity of the womb, which bleeds every month and where, you know, babies stay before they're born. Or they can grow out on little pedicles into your tummy cavity. So if you think of a balloon, a normal sized balloon that's the size of a pear, that's what our normal womb size would be. So if they're stretched up because of big periods, then the surface of the womb that's going to bleed every month will be greater because it's bigger. And then the periods will be more heavy and may or may not be painful, because there could be other conditions. Adenomyosis would be another condition that people can have without knowing it, and that causes heavy, painful periods also. And then obviously endometriosis is another one that people feel is diagnosed far too late in life.
Okay. Fibroids, do they need to be taken out?
If they're causing people problems,
yeah,
they need to be managed. And I suppose traditionally we would have talked about taking out fibroids. There are other treatments now that are available for fibroids besides surgery, because obviously in younger women who may be going on to have a baby, we'd be trying to avoid surgery unless it was absolutely necessary. So women are normally given a choice of having the fibroids removed. There's also a radiological procedure called uterine artery embolization, where they zap little pellets into the blood supply to the fibroid and it'll shrink over time. And the good news is there's literally, I think just last week or the week before, a new medication after being licensed in Ireland called Relugolix. And that's a tablet that you take every day, and that will help to shrink fibroids, and you can be on that indefinitely. Because if someone is maybe planning a pregnancy in the future, often we wouldn't feel that surgery is necessarily the best option.
Gotcha.
So okay, it's about tailoring it for the individual person. It's really important to take a good history, get your good imaging with MRI or ultrasound to try and plan what's right for that person.
You said, you mentioned about changing pads every hour, and it definitely resonated with someone here. They've just texted in and said, if you're changing pads every hour and it's really heavy, where is that blood coming from? Is it separate from the rest of your blood supply? Basically, do I need to worry about anemia?
Well, people will get anemic, and clearly that's an important thing to highlight, that if people are going to be bleeding all the time at that level, then they can become anemic. And someone like that should get an investigation done.
Okay.
At the very least, they can have a scan, can have hormone levels, maybe they'll need an MRI. And there are treatments out there for all of these kind of situations. You know, we use the pill and progesterone. We have the various coils that are now on the market, the Mirena, the Kylena. We have the implant, and now the other new drug I mentioned. So there are just so many options out there. And there's a subgroup of women that I would see probably a bit more recently, and it's great that they're coming forward, are the young girls with maybe autism or additional needs who just can't cope with the concept, because they just can't cope with seeing blood coming out of them. They get panicky, and really, really panicky, and they shouldn't be ignored either.
Absolutely. You mentioned it there, and I think we need to talk about it because it's quite common. But endometriosis, is this difficult to diagnose? Or you say people get diagnosed by this quite late in life, right?
Yeah, they do. And I mean, the statistics would suggest that some women with endometriosis are often on their seventh doctor before they get to a diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking back to when I was a young medical student and a young junior doctor. We were always led to believe that endometriosis only happened in older women. And I think therein is the problem, that people who were younger maybe went and complained about their, because endometriosis tends to be associated with pain as well as heavy periods. And the pain is a really big issue. And for those who don't know what endometriosis is, it's where the tissue similar to the lining of the womb is somewhere else besides in the lining of the womb, and it bleeds every month, but the blood doesn't escape. So it builds up somewhere in your abdomen or your pelvis. It's an inflammatory condition, and then it'll eventually cause scarring or cysts or whatever. So it can be very debilitating if it's not caught on time. And this, I suppose, is the big change in medical practice that we've got to go with. We've got to start, you know, thinking about that in younger women and managing it or dealing with it at a much earlier stage, so they don't get to being at the very end stage of being at the seventh doctor before they're diagnosed. Then it's affecting fertility, then they need surgery. Whereas if it's nipped in the bud at an earlier stage, there may be medical treatments that would suit them.
Why do we understand so little about periods as opposed to other biological processes? It seems to be only now we're talking about it and talking about fibroids and endometriosis. And why is that? Why do we know more?
Why don't we know more, or yeah, why do we now know more?
Well, I suppose.
You know, think back to when you were younger and you were in school. Did anyone ever talk about it? We weren't taught about it in school. It wasn't talked about. Now people have so much more access to social media and really good evidence-based sites to check things out. I am amazed since COVID how many young girls are coming in very proactively, 15 upwards, coming in saying, this is my situation. I play football. My periods are driving me crazy. I'm missing school, missing football practice or whatever. So they're much more proactive. And I think that is by having access to good information.
Mm, absolutely.
I do think the schools have a huge role to play in this.
Okay. A lot of texts coming in on 51552. Somebody said, hi, Jen, what can be done for a 13-year-old that has extremely heavy periods that leaks after an hour and can't play sport or go to school? It's so bad. I didn't want to put her on the pill. She's too young. What should I do?
Well, I personally don't think 13 is too young to go on the pill. I think that mom needs to think about the girl's quality of life and how it's going to psychologically and emotionally affect her. I definitely think she needs to be reviewed and look at what her options are. And I would have 13-year-olds that are on the pill or have the Kylena coil in. So there are options out there. And you've got to think about long-term, the negativity this girl now associates with periods.
Now, the texter says, my periods got worse over time to the point where I became severely anemic when I got my period. It turned out to be fibroids. I saw a specialist on the matter. We talked about various options, starting with the contraceptive pill. I actually no longer get a period now. It changed my life. I had no idea how much I had normalized the horrific amount of blood I was losing every single month. Education is critical. I thought it was just something that happened to women as you aged. Is this a common misconception?
Absolutely. And I think the other thing I like about that story is this presumption we have that we must have a period every month. We don't have to have a period every month. And it's kind of it goes back to a kind of a religious thing. And certain cultures actually are very strong on this too, that because they've had a period, they know they can't be pregnant. And people often panic when I tell them, we'll put in a coil or we'll put you on the pill and you won't have periods. Where's the blood going? It's not going anywhere. The lining has been thinned and there's nothing to bleed. So there's a huge presumption that we have to have a period and it's not normal not to. That's absolute myth.
Okay. And 86% of women surveyed recently said they wanted better info. So where can listeners find good information about period problems for themselves, for their daughters, for their friends? Where are they going?
It's so hard to have one place. Well, the HSE have something on their website. For the endometriosis group, the ESHRE, which is our European governing body, it's ESHRE.eu. They've just issued new guidelines on endometriosis, and that's actually very, very good source for people with endometriosis, and it's all evidence-based. There is no one good place. I like to think that I put good things up on my social media source from time to time, and I'll maybe make an effort now for the next week because it's obvious periods are a really big issue. And what I'll do is I'll try and put the best sources together and put them up on my social media.
And where can people follow you?
On scotiaclinic.ie or Dr. McCaffrey, Scotia Clinic on Facebook, and we have Instagram and we have LinkedIn.
Amazing. Mary, thank you so much for joining me again. Lovely to chat to you. There we go. That was Dr. Mary McCaffrey, consultant gynecologist at the Scotia Women's Health Clinic in Tralee. Really interesting stuff. I think the general message is you shouldn't be in pain. You shouldn't have to deal with that. And there's options for you out there. And education is key. Go see your GP and go find the appropriate information online. And you can follow Dr. Mary McCaffrey on social media. And she's lots of good information resources there.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare. Looking after you always.